Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back. Thanks for listening. This segment of the show is brought to you by Olive Crest and features Laura Ledoux, who's joining us from SSHP Enterprises, Inc. Laura is a legal business coach, and she's helped dozens and dozens of business owners over the years. She's been an entrepreneur herself and realized that most business owners are discouraged and dissatisfied with the legal industry. So after over a decade of practicing traditional law, Laura set herself apart as a legal partner for businesses so she can empower them to expand and grow and live outside the constraints of the formal legal system. So, Laura, welcome to the show.
Hi, Bill. Thank you.
Pleasure to have you on. Today, we're going to talk about legal strategies to protect and expand your business, and I look forward to getting into that. Before we do, though, I always like to let our listeners know a little bit about our guests. So could you tell us something about your background?
Well, my background is I went to law school in New Orleans, and I have an LLM in real estate law. I practiced for a year or so in New Orleans, and then I moved to Chicago, where I'm also licensed in Illinois, and practiced there for about 9 years. I did eminent domain for the city of Chicago and other municipalities for a few years. Then I opened my own practice, which is where I really got to explore my passion, which is helping entrepreneurs. Because for most of my career, over 20 years, I've been an entrepreneur myself. So I bring that unique combination of having both the legal background and the entrepreneurial background, which is atypical of most people practicing law out there.
And what do most people, you know, most entrepreneurs obviously are thinking creatively, they're finding needs and they're filling those needs or developing products and strategies, and they're not typically thinking, tell me what I can't do. They want to know, how can I do what I want to do, right?
Exactly.
And so how what's different about how you work with them, say, versus a traditional law practice, and how they would work with them?
Great question. Thanks for asking that, Bill. Most entrepreneurs like myself are visionaries, and most entrepreneurs want to cover their eyes and go bury their head in the sand when they think of legal aspects of their business. And a lot of people become intimidated when they think about going to an attorney. They don't want to do that. It scares them. They don't really understand. And most attorneys are kind of putting band-aids on things or putting out fires. They're not looking at the business as a whole. They're not typically entrepreneurs, and they're not approaching things from that perspective. They're approaching it from the legal perspective, which has its place. But because most entrepreneurs are visionaries and they want to focus on their passions, what I do is I come in and free them up to do that, free them up to stop being concerned about the legal aspects of their business. I act as a liaison between them and their attorney, or if they don't have an attorney, I have attorneys that I can refer them to or that work with me on a contract basis that can do the actual legal work. So I'm taking more of a holistic approach to the business, helping them understand how they can use legal strategies combined with their vision to expand their vision, maybe partnering up with someone in a joint venture or a strategic alliance, using licensing agreements to expand their offerings so that they're actually increasing their bottom line. And then, of course, always helping them see where they can protect their assets and also helping them understand when do they really need an attorney. Because a lot of times entrepreneurs think they need an attorney when they are really not at that point and they just need someone a little more savvy in that aspect of things, like myself, to come in and help them focus and understand what it is that they really need.
Yeah, and I can see that could be a real roadblock for a lot of people. They're thinking, you know, I'm small, I don't have much going on, I don't have much cash flow going yet, but should I be protecting this idea yet? Is it time to get a legal agreement between an independent contractor and myself, or what should I do there? How do I deal with some of these issues with vendors? And so someone like yourself can help them say, well, look, yes, we should be doing this or not yet, but let's take this precaution instead. It's sometimes it's how you say something or do something instead of having the actual legal structure around it, right?
Exactly. And I help them with strategies of how to communicate with their employees, making decisions on whether to hire an independent contractor or an employee, because again, a lot of them don't understand what the differences are there, how they're exposing themselves to liability. A lot of times employees want to be classified as an independent contractor and the employer isn't even aware of the exposure that they're creating for themselves by doing that, both legally and from a tax perspective. And I'm not an accountant, but I can work with their accountant with respect to those things. So that's the holistic aspect of the coaching that I bring to them, to just see what it is that's going on, help them, counsel them, coach them through dealing with employees, talking through situations, any kind of harassment issues that come up, making sure they have the right things in place, helping them identify if they need an employee handbook, when they need an employee handbook, when do they need to incorporate or set up an LLC. And most of the time, attorneys are not providing that comprehensive service to their clients.
And what about things like trademarks and intellectual property and things along those lines? It seems like most small service businesses, that's their biggest asset over time, is their goodwill and their trademark, what they do and how they hold it out to the world, and protecting against that and making sure that they're not stepping on others' toes that might have already filed trademarks. So do you get involved in that area too, or do you refer them on to someone else there?
Absolutely. That's federal law, so that's something that I can practice because I'm licensed in two other states. So I do help them with trademarks, identifying when they need them for what things. You know, do they just need a general trademark for a logo? Do they have specific merchandise that they're creating, like coffee mugs or things of that nature, t-shirts, that type of thing, that they need a specific trademark for that too. And also in this day and age with websites, there's so much out there that's easily accessible. A lot of people don't even realize, and on a lot of websites, you can just go right click and download an image and start using it. And so helping them understand where they need protection with that. Also with websites, making sure they have agreements in place with people who are doing work on their websites. I had a client who was sued for $30,000 because her website designer used a copyrighted image on her website. And had she had an agreement in place, it would have been much easier and quicker for her to go in on a motion to dismiss and say, hey, get me out of this, where she ended up with a lot of headache and time and energy and money involved in defending that lawsuit. It would have been a lot more cost effective for her to just have an agreement in place in the beginning. And the silver lining of that for her was that she had a great understanding of the foundation that she needed to have moving forward with people that she was working with. And she had subtenants in her space and that type of thing. So it really opened her mind to let her see where she was exposed and start putting things in place to protect herself.
So what advice would you give to people who are just starting out in their business? I mean, there are shortcuts they might want to take, and you probably say, no, don't do that, don't do that. Are there things that they should absolutely do or not do when they're starting up? What are some of the things that you could recommend?
The biggest thing I would recommend is to sit down with some sort of a professional like myself, another attorney, an accountant, or somebody, to have a conversation about what assets you have. Do you have personal assets? Do you have a home? Do you have a 401k? Do you have a boat? Those types of things. What type of assets are you starting your company out with? Because some of us are working from home and we have very small overhead. Some of us are setting up a shop where we have a significant investment in assets. So that's going to really be the driving force about whether or not you want to protect yourself with a formal entity structure, such as an LLC or a corporation. And so looking at what assets you need to protect is the first thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. Great tip.
Yeah, that's the number one thing, is just sitting down, because a lot of people don't realize the types of exposure that they have. And especially if you have a premises where you're going to be having customers coming in, what kind of insurance do I need? How, you know, and all the basis of that is, what assets do you have that you want to protect?
Because it's kind of a risk analysis, basically.
Exactly. Thanks. That's a great way to put it. So sitting down with someone, doing a risk analysis and figuring out what corporate structure you need, if any, and if not, you know, at what point will you need that? Also making hiring decisions, because that's another place where entrepreneurs find themselves exposed. Like we just talked about, the difference between independent contractors and employees. And I have a free action guide that I can send to your listeners if they want to email me. I'm happy to share that with them. And that there's a sort of chart and matrix in there about some of the considerations to look at when making hiring decisions. Mm-hmm. And then furthermore, if you're using a virtual assistant or a bookkeeper, what are they doing? How much access do they have to your financial information, to your credit card numbers? Do you have non-disclosure and confidentiality agreements in place with them? So just basically doing a risk assessment for the entrepreneur as they're just starting out.
Mm-hmm. So those with, if you're out there and you're thinking about starting a business, or you have started a business, Look around you, see what you have to lose first, and then start thinking about, you know, if is it all worth it? If I don't protect this, this could all go away.
Right? Exactly.
I could get attacked in a number of different ways. And you have to be really careful these days with your intellectual property, and especially if you're dealing with entities overseas. I mean, a lot of people get ripped off in those kind of arrangements. They don't know what they're doing when it comes to those type of arrangements. There's a lot to know. There's a lot to think about, right?
There is. And like the example I said with my client that got sued for $30,000, that could bankrupt a business. Even defending that lawsuit could cost $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, which could bankrupt many new businesses. And it's not something that they can recover from, where if they spent $400 or $500 in advance to have a formal agreement put in place, then their life would be a lot easier. And the likelihood that their business is going to survive and thrive is much greater.
Well, what about going back to, okay, I've got an idea. I've got a business name. You know, there's all the DBA kind of stuff that you're going to do generally as a result of that. And then you think, I need to trademark that name. Is that a good idea or a bad idea up front?
Again, it depends, Bill. So that's part of what the risk assessment would be. Is it a unique name? Is it unique enough to even be trademarked? Because there are a lot of rules regarding trademarks. And, you know, you can't trademark like smile, because that's a word that everyone uses. Mm-hmm. But if you had a specific logo and artwork that you wanted to trademark, you could trademark that, but not the actual word.
Do you have any particular client stories that you could share with us about someone that maybe came to see you, had some ideas or some questions, and you were able to help them out?
Sure. I have a couple. One of my favorite things to do is help people understand that California is a community property state. So is Illinois, where I'm licensed to practice, and I still have several clients there. And a lot of people don't really understand what the ramifications are of setting up a business when you are living in a community property state and you do have a spouse. So there's different ways that can be handled, and each person coming in the door has a different idea of what they want to do. But one of the things that I like to do is sit down, find out if we need to have a community property agreement in place, find out if they have an attorney to do that. If not, I have attorneys that, like I said, I work with that will draft those agreements for them. But do that assessment, find out where they are with that, where their spouse is. Is the spouse going to be a part of the company? Do they want to be completely hands-off? Help them understand the realities of that, because, you know, we don't like to think of divorce, but my job as an attorney and as a legal business coach is to look at the holistic aspect of it and to prevent problems before they come. And it's a lot easier when you're setting up a partnership or a community property agreement, when everyone's happy and friendly, to determine, well, okay, on the off chance that this dissolves, what are we going to do? So you have that all in place in advance, and it gives people peace of mind. It allows them to just move forward with the business without having to worry about those things. And the amount of peace of mind that it gives my clients really allows them to just let go of all of that and have the energy and time to pursue their visions. Mm-hmm. And then one of my favorite stories in Illinois, I had a client who was setting up a suburban reptile store. So he sold lizards and snakes and dragon, you know, bearded dragons and all these different things. And of course, part of his inventory was rats and mice, because that was the food for his inventory. Mm-hmm. Well, there were provisions in his lease that talked about infestations and having what was, you know, defined as vermin inside his unit. And so basically the lease prevented him from even having the right rats and mice in his unit. And that's not something most people would have caught. So I caught that. We were able to work with the landlord, and the landlord was like, wow, I'm really glad, you know, that you saw that and we figured this out, because we were able to draft a provision that worked for both the landlord and my client to make sure that he was moving forward. And there were provisions in there that if they escaped and, you know, if there was an infestation, that was a whole different thing. But he was allowed to keep those as part of his inventory.
Well, and that's a good point. A lot of people look at these agreements, and usually they're on some kind of a standard stock form, and they think, well, it is what it is. They don't take it to an attorney and they sign it, and there are probably all kinds of provisions in there that should have been modified or could have been modified, right? Do you modify a lot of those types of documents?
Absolutely, and thank you for bringing that up. A lot of people think, well, this agreement just is what it is. They're the landlord. They wield the big stick. That is true in part, but at the same time, they want viable tenants in their space. And if they're in a negotiation with you about getting you into your space, into their space, it's because you have something that they want. So there's always an ability to negotiate. You can negotiate all different kinds of things. Who's going to fix what? what, a lot of times I find clients that, oh, the air conditioner breaks on the roof, and they didn't realize that was their responsibility. And that's $3,000, $5,000, $7,000 fix, depending on the size of the unit. And again, that's something that could really significantly impact a business's bottom line. And had they known that going in, they could have at least budgeted for it or had an inspection done to find out how old the unit was, to see what condition it was in, or negotiate that those costs are shared with the landlord, mm-hmm. or the landlord shares that burden of the cost. There's many, many things that could be negotiated to really allow the entrepreneur to be stepping off on the best foot, be in the best negotiating position, be in the best position to impact their own bottom line and make sure that they're solvent and viable moving forward.
Now, a lot of our listeners, for instance, are over age 50 and maybe they've sold a business and they're now they're looking at a new kind of an encore career or starting a new type of a business. And they think, well, it's just really a hobby and I don't really need to do this and this and that. But they really need to be careful, especially at that point, because they may have just sold a business and they may be very liquid and very a very rich target for mm-hmm. someone out there. So for someone that has a hobby that's turning into a business, again, same steps, risk management, risk profile, that type of a thing. Should they always go through that with you?
Absolutely, and probably even more so, because a lot of times entrepreneurs that have already been successful in one business think that they can take that same success and those same philosophies and actions and take it into the next business. But each business is different, just like each relationship that we have is different. And so each one deserves and merits its own risk assessment and to see exactly what it is that that one particularly needs. And plus, if you've just sold a business and you're very liquid, your financial situation and your exposure is going to be much different than it is when you're just starting out with really nothing. And, you know, those hobbies have made some of the greatest businesses that we have in our country today. So there's always a time to sit down and decide, okay, how much business am I now getting? What exposure do I have? So once it starts getting out of the hobby situation and when they're actually having customers and people paying them is probably the time to sit down and go, okay, do I want to move forward with this? How and what can I do to increase my revenue and make sure that my assets are adequately protected?
And sometimes those things take off very quickly and then there's no time to look back. So it's always better to do an ounce of prevention up front, saves a pound of cure down the road. And Laura, how do our listeners get in touch with you?
They can find me on my website, which is lauraledoux.com. That's LauraLedoux.com. The email is laura@lauraledoux.com. And you can phone me at 714-470-6782.
And you have an action guide available for our listeners who get in touch with you?
I do. That's available on the homepage of my website. There's a sidebar on the right, and they can enter their email, and it will take them a link to download that.
And Laura's got a lot of great stuff on her website, so check it out at www.lauraledoux.com. And thanks very much for joining. It's been very interesting, and I'm sure our listeners have learned a lot from it. So I hope you'll join us again sometime, and we'll go deeper into some of these topics.
Great. Thanks, Bill. It was wonderful to be here. I appreciate it.
I've been talking with Laura Ledoux. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.